All three of you. Okay. We've been in a series on overcoming. And I'm, in a way, continuing that series, but I'm going to take a turn in it because I've talked about the toolbox and going out in the garage and looking in your toolbox and finding that tool that you need for whatever's going on. But in your spiritual life, being equipped with things that the Lord has given us in different ways, how we can come to Him, how we can apprehend, take hold of things that He's given us for the benefit of our spiritual lives. And I've enjoyed doing this series. It's been great for me personally to focus on this. But as I thought about that analogy, I was thinking about that analogy with the toolbox and going out in the garage with the toolbox. I have a garage. I have toolboxes in there. I've got tools all over my wall in there. And I go in there. And sometimes I think about, I kind of wish my dad, who taught me how to use tools, could be in there with me. And how when I was, you know, away from my dad after I went to college and I never really lived at home after that point, I'd often be trying to do something and I wouldn't really know how my dad would have done it. It would have been great if I could have known. I kind of had to figure out some of that stuff on my own. And it made me think that God's given us all these tools for the toolbox, but what if when we go into that garage, to that toolbox, we're also coming into the place where there's already a master craftsman in the room. And not just the tools and the toolbox are there, but He's there. He's there. And He is our overcomer. Because Jesus is not a tool. Jesus is not a tool for us to have a better life. Jesus is our better life. He's our very life within us. He sent His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Jesus is the Holy Spirit that is within us. So Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is with us, to live with us and be with us, a person, a person. So let's get to know Jesus, our overcomer, the one who overcame everything for us and who will overcome everything for us as we need from Him. So I think this is the way to think about this. God's way for you is overcoming. We've been talking about becoming overcomers. God's way for you is overcoming. God's plan for you is overcoming through Him by knowing Him. Overcoming through Him by knowing Him. And so that's kind of the outline for this sermon today. And so you know, this is an introductory series on getting to know Jesus and His overcoming power for us. So this is an introductory sermon. It's probably not going to have, you're probably not going to walk out with a tool in the toolbox, or maybe even not as much knowledge of Jesus as you would expect from this sermon, because I'm setting you up for a deeper look. As I was preparing this sermon, I was praying and longing for God, for us all to know Jesus better. I know there is a really bad echo. Do we know what's going on with the sound, Seth? Not to put anybody particular on the spot, but it is ringing. I can hear it too. It's not just you. You're fine.
Okay.
So to know Jesus. So I was longing and praying for us all to know Jesus better. Because I thought as I was going through the tools in the toolbox, it's like, what's better to know? What's better to know than Jesus? Who is better to know than Jesus? There's nothing better that we can know than Jesus and all that He can do for us in our lives through our relationship with Him, through having our eyes fixed upon Him, through tapping into His wonderful, direct, personal strength by which He fills us up with His Spirit and does things in and through us that we couldn't imagine. And that's far beyond having a tool in your hand or a technique that you use or a battle strategy or an action plan, things that I've talked about so far. All right, so in the interest of this, I just want to set up the next passage that we're going to look at by talking about this one really quickly. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is one of the great verses about salvation. Sin leads to death. And so you understand what death is. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God had said that if they ate from the fruit of that tree that was forbidden, they would surely die. And people say, well, they ate from it and they didn't die, except humans had never died to that point. Humans had never died to that point. So the definition of death was about, death was just about to be defined. When they ate from the tree, they died because they fell out of relationship with God. Their physical body's death was an after effect. So the definition of death is walking out of relationship with God. Your physical death is something that comes as an after effect of that death. So don't use our physical death and say, well, I don't know really what happened there, but they didn't die. They died. They were walking away from God. They were not with God anymore. And that is like death to our spirits. That is death to our spirits, to be without God. So Jesus came to undo that and give us new life, raise us up to new life, and even more than what Adam and Eve had, put his Holy Spirit within us. They didn't even have the Holy Spirit within them. They would walk with God. They weren't in Christ. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. So we're actually more advantaged than they are in a lot of ways. So there's that about salvation and understanding what death is. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the word I want you to focus on there is gift, only for the sake of setting you up to understand the next passage. Paul is the king of run-on sentences, and some of his words can be very, very hard to understand. So I've taken this apart and color-coded it. Anything that comes from Adam or relates to death or sin is in red. Anything relates to life and things that have come from Jesus is highlighted in purple in the next couple of slides. But the word here, the focal word, is gift, because Paul's going to be talking a lot about a gift here in a second, this second. So going backwards in Romans, that was from Romans 6:23. Now we're back in Romans 5, and he's referring to the same gift. But the gift is not like the trespass. So the gift came from God. The trespass was Adam's trespass. That was Adam's sin. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, and they did, Adam sinned, and all the generations after him lived in the death that he did, dead to God, alive to sin. So the gift is not like that. It's not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? So many people died and walked far from God because of Adam's sin, but because of what Jesus did and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus, life overflows to many people. So there's this gift that comes through what Jesus did. Actually, it doesn't say that. It says, the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. And what was the gift? Do you remember when we were talking about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit? John the Baptist prophesied that the gift of the Holy Spirit would come. That Jesus came, and salvation is to bring the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we saw that. We traced that from the prophetic prophecies, the predictions of it, the foretellings of its coming, to when the Holy Spirit came, and then what's the outcome? What's it look like when the Holy Spirit comes? So the Holy Spirit in you, active in you, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, as one passage says, the Spirit of His Son, as another passage says, the Holy Spirit living in you is the gift of God to us. That's the gift of God to us. Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, through the one man, Jesus Christ. Reign in life. So I've said, we're to be overcomers, we're to reign in life. We're to reign in life. We're not to be downtrodden and beaten down by this world like the rest of the people who don't know God and who are far from Him and are still walking in a form of death. We're to be raised to new life in Christ, not when we die, now. This is the time for the blessed life, to have abundant life, to have abundant life right now. All right, so that's part of the setup there.
want you to focus on that very last part, and here it is in a little more detail, that verse put in bullet points. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness? You know, when Jesus died on the cross, we know he took our sins, right? Took our sins on the cross. He took our sins on the cross, and they were judged on the cross. And with his death and with his blood, he paid the price for our sins. The perfect given for the imperfect. The perfection of Jesus in his blood, in his holiness, given for the imperfect whose lives he was saving, whose souls he was saving. So, and in that, he took our sins from us. As far as the east is from the west, our sins have been removed from us, and they're not counted against us any longer. But not just that, he also gave his righteousness to us. So when it talks here about how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Jesus has given us his righteousness. So all of his righteousness is credited to you, but all of his righteousness is also available to you. Because he didn't just sort of throw his righteousness in a grocery cart and push it over to you in the aisle. He has his righteousness as his power for righteousness to give you in your life now, so that you don't have to gin up righteousness. You don't have to measure up to the standard. You can walk in Jesus Christ in newness of life, in relationship with him, and plugged into his righteousness. So his righteousness is flowing through you, and you don't have to achieve righteousness by your exertion, by your effort, by your energy, and by your great effort. You don't have to do it like people in the law, under the law. They had to keep the law by their effort, by their exertion, by their determination. And we don't have to live like that. What God has given to us for righteousness is that we have a relationship with the righteous Jesus himself. And his life, his very life, complete with its righteousness, can flow in us and overwhelm and overcome the tendency for us not to be righteous or even to sin. Overcome that. And when he does that, it's effortless on his part. It takes no effort on his part. And it merely takes surrender and welcoming of him on our part. All right, so to finish this passage here, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Reign in life. So we're to reign in life. Talked about that before. Reign in life and to be overcomers. All right, so here's another passage. We're going to get another word here to attach to this. Reign in life was one. And so this passage is a little more linear. It's a little bit easier to follow, so no color coding this time. But just sit back and sort of relax and listen to these words. It's a long passage. It's going to go on to two slides. So I'm just going to read it slowly. I'm not going to dwell a lot in these particular words of this passage because the focal point is the last verse. And it's on the next slide. But just listen to what God has done for us and the provision he's made. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors through him who loved us. So So we're to reign in life, and we're also to be more than conquerors through him who loved us. So let's bring these two passages together here. Overcoming through him. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So look how similar these passages are. Romans talk, or Paul's both in the book of Romans, same guy, same subject matter, talking about salvation and all that Jesus Christ did for us, all that God provided through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is the upshot of that, that we're to be more than conquerors, we're to reign in life. Both of those things happen through him who loved us, through the man, Jesus Christ. So if we have provision for our salvation, certainly a great deal of that has been made in concrete, specific actions and fulfillments on the cross. Jesus' blood, his life given to us, given for us. Our sins canceled, done away with, and his righteousness given to us as full credit in the eyes of God. You are fully credited with all of the righteousness of Jesus. You are fully credited with all of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in God's view. Fully credited, not short. And he did that fully knowing that even after your salvation, you would sometimes sin. I would sometimes sin. I've often sinned. Holy Spirit's generous in pointing that out to me. But he did that. And none of that nullifies the fact that you are fully credited with all of it, all the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But this passage isn't talking about that. It's not talking about that. These passages aren't talking about that. We are more than conquerors through him. Through him. So this is talking about a living relationship with Jesus himself, by which, in our union with him, we've been joined together with him, and the Holy Spirit is within us. His Spirit is within us. He asked the Father for the ability to send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to us. His Spirit is within us, so that we can have life in Christ. So, in all those passages where Paul talks about being in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, and that's a mysterious word to it. It's a difficult thing to understand. It's a difficult thing. We feel like, I don't know what in Christ means. I want to solve this. I want an answer to what it is. But actually, it's quite simple. You're in him. And he's in you. He sent his Holy Spirit to be in you. And you're in him. So we want to really understand what it means to have the relationship so that our lives are not just us walking and hoping he helps us. Our walk and our life is literally in him. And because, like I was saying, I was longing, praying for us all, praying for the whole church and myself, for us all to know Jesus Christ more, to know him more. And I was thinking about the toolbox and thinking, this is way beyond tools in the toolbox. This is way beyond, this is coming into the presence and walking in relationship with the master craftsman who's the guy that owns the whole garage. And going out and spending time with the guy that not only knows how to use the tools, but invented the tools and gave you the tools, and also is a companion to you far, far, I mean, infinitely far along the road is Jesus in his understanding of how to walk with God. Infinitely far along that road is Jesus in his knowledge of how to walk with God. He did it to perfection. And yet, he's willing to go all the way back on the trail to us at the very starting point of learning how to do that and be with us and alongside us and in us, fully equipping us to walk in and through him for our life of righteousness and our hope and our reigning in life and us being more than conquerors as he reigned in life when he was here and still reigns in life, as he was more than a conqueror while he was here, conquering even sin in the grave. All right, so there's this passage, again, Paul. I like Paul a lot of times. I like putting together stuff because he was very very logical in the way he presented stuff and also very coherent in a lot of the language that he would use. So here's this passage, and it's a prayer. It's a prayer. prayer. Paul is praying for people. And what kind of things Paul has in his prayer requests as he's praying for people that he ministered to in this church in Ephesus. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." I've added the word know. "Know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead." So Paul has this list of things that he wants them to know. So I'm bullet pointing this verse. Didn't change any words, except I've added the word know to help carry those parts. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. So that looks like a sermon series outline for me. Know him better, know the hope to which he has called you, know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and know his incomparably great power for us who believe. So that's the journey that we're on for at least the next 4 weeks. So you're going to get a whole sermon on each one of those things. But look at what it says down here at the bottom. This is really fascinating, and I think it should be hopeful for you. Just going up one there, know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Like, it was an unbelievable, it's still an amazing miracle to consider. Jesus was raised up from the dead by the exertion of the mighty power of God, the mighty power of God. Because that's what it takes to raise someone from the dead to new life, like he did with Jesus. And Jesus' body had been broken, and he'd suffered all kinds of abuse and all kinds of things like that. And he was raised to new life without any animosity toward the people who had done that to him, without any grudge against us because he took our sins on the cross. He was raised to new life whole and complete by the mighty power of God. By the mighty power of God. And it says here that we can know his incomparably great power for us who believe, which power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. We can also know that incomparably great power for us. And we should have an expectation that as the months and years of our lives roll toward us from the future, that out there, you're going to know more and more of the incomparably great power that God has for you. You are going to know more and more of the incomparably great power that God has for you, which is like that power by which he raised Jesus from the dead. So supernatural power is in his plan for you. Supernatural power for a life of righteousness, for a life of overcoming, so that you can be more than conquerors, so that you can be more than conquerors, so that you can reign in life. Well, who reigns? Who reigns? We usually think of somebody reigning. Who are the kind of people who reign? Kings reign, right? Royalty. Royalty reign. Who is our Father? God, the King, and he's made us to be little kings so that we can reign in life, which means he's given us, like he's given me a sphere of interest, or say a sphere that's my responsibility. I have a household, I have children, I have a car, I have a few other interests here and there, but you know, not uncommonly, I don't have a gigantic sphere. I don't think any of us are wealthy. You know, I don't run corporations, all kinds of things like that. But I do have a sphere that God has given me, and he's given me authority in that sphere. And I'm to reign in that sphere through Jesus Christ. We may talk about that someday. I'm just saying that there, you have a sphere in which God has given you authority and influence, and within that sphere, you can reign. You can reign. You can be an overcomer in anything that comes at you or toward you, toward your sphere that he's given you. I'm not talking about prosperity gospel, not even going there. Not a big fan of that kind of thing. What I am saying is that if God has given you a house or a car or even an apartment and you're paying rent on that apartment, you know legally people can't come into your apartment. That's your turf. Even the landlord can't come into your apartment without permission because that's your turf. And so you have authority over your apartment that you live in. You have authority there. That's part of your sphere. Your car, when you're in your car, that's part of your sphere. When you're on the road, your lane of the road right around you, part that you're allowed to drive on, that's part of your sphere. And so you can pray especially over such things like that. Say, this is my sphere, Lord. I ask for you to be Lord in this as I endeavor to be your servant in this and bring your lordship into this situation. So that's how kings think about their kingdoms. Like, this is my jurisdiction. I have this. I reign over this. Might be difficult for some of them to realize that they actually have genuine authority over those areas. Some will take it to too much. Earthly kings will take that to too great an extreme. But in our sphere, our sphere is for us to be servants of the Lord with all we own, and be just and careful, good stewards of all that he's given us, but to have lordship and reign over the things that he's given into our hands. Okay, so we're done. You see the sermon outline outlines for the next 4 weeks right there. Know him better. Know the hope to which he has called you. Know the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people and his incomparably great power for us who believe. All right, so here's your challenges. These are fairly simple as they go. You've had harder ones from me. Learn some scriptures that talk about this. These are the three different passages that we just went through. Romans 5, 15 through 17, Romans 8, 31 through 37, Ephesians 1, 15 through 20. And this, I would just like you to spend this week, if you think about these messages once you leave, prepare your heart for breakthrough in knowing him. Prepare your heart for breakthrough in knowing him, because how much you know him now is not all there is. It's not all there is. There's plenty more. There's plenty more of knowing Jesus. So prepare your heart for breakthrough in him. Have some expectation around this. Apply faith to this idea that you are going to know him better. You are going to know him better. There's going to be breakthroughs coming to you in knowing him. And then cultivate expectancy about greater things to come. We're going, when we go out to the toolbox, we're going out into the garage, we're going into the shop of the master craftsman of not just righteousness, but our lives. God is faithful to complete the work that he started in you. He's faithful to complete the work that he started in you, and he has big plans for what that is. Now, I think that we know, or maybe we're used to, I should say, that it seems like growth in our spiritual lives can take a long time to come, that it's slow. I want you to have an idea that maybe God's going to move a little faster. It's going to move a little faster, challenge you maybe more deeply, but have some expectancy that that's good. That's the direction that he wants you to go. And he's not just challenging you to modify your behavior. He's challenging you to draw near to him. Draw near to him. So this is way beyond tools in the toolbox. This is coming into the life itself of the master craftsman, the one who is expert and professional and accomplished in following God and can lead us in that way. So have high hopes for what Jesus and knowing Jesus will do for you in your life. Father, you're setting us on a course of knowing your Son, knowing him. And what can I say to that? You will have to speak, Lord. We will all have to hear from you. We'll all have to come to know Jesus together. deeper than we ever have. All of us are inadequate to come to know him without you moving in our lives in a transformative way. All of us are inadequate to come to you. But you've come to us. So I pray that you'd cultivate hope, enable us to apply faith and expectancy to what you have in store for us in knowing Jesus, in knowing your appointed man for our lives. This appointed Savior who comes to us not as someone remote, but as someone intimately personal. We look forward to seeing what you'll do. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful that you give us hope for such great things. And you've shown in the past that you're perfectly capable of delivering on your promises. And you delight to do so. So we thank you, Lord, for what you have ahead for us. Thank you for your rich scriptures that talk about this. And we just look forward to seeing what you're going to do. Amen. Go love, folks. Go love and have high hopes for what God's going to do in and through you.